Go to Romans chapter 14. And I thought about Romans 14 in the sense of love and about leadership and about commitment and that kind of thing. There's a motivating factor in all that we do. And there should be. Every action and every choice and every decision you make, whether you're Hannah's age or Seth's age, or whether you're as old as Wayne, way over the hill, and it doesn't matter. Every choice, everything affects something. Everything is connected. Dynamite. Oh, that was funny. Everything's interconnected. I mean, it just goes on and on. And I have watched as I have studied the Word of God, and I have seen things happen that change dynamics. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That someone will come along and all of a sudden you're not in the same place that you were when you started. Does that make sense? Everybody has a place where they are, but something comes along that changes that. And the whole effects of that dynamic changes regularly. I mean, it's like an organic matter. I'm not making any sense yet, am I? Huh? Not yet? Okay, that's good. Well, no, that's not good, but hopefully it'll make sense before we get there. Everything's organic. It's constantly changing. We're not in a standstill, solidified world. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We're not in a place where there's it's going to be one thing and that's the way it is. I'll give you an example. Kids will grow up. Your life will be different after the kids leave. Trust me. Amen, parents?
Amen.
And some of the parents can't get the kids to leave.
Amen.
So, you know, those all change the dynamics of everything you see. And everything that happens changes something, you know, a little bit. You all understand what I'm saying? And so God wants you to understand that the motivation for any change in your life ought to be that of knowing that you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what the change should be about. You all understand what I'm saying? That you shouldn't just make choices. And so Romans 14 is really about two brothers and stumbling blocks and some of that. But I want to start in verse 7, I guess, is probably as good a place to start as any. Romans 14, verse 7. None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. And whether we therefore live or die, we are the Lord's. And to understand that we really, every decision is going to be based upon that nuclei in our lives. Okay, I know whether I live or I die, I am the what? Well, the idea is, go to Romans, hold on to here, go to Romans chapter 7. We're going to turn right back, so just hang on to this. Well, hang on, I got the wrong passage.
Give me just a second here. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians 7. Yes, it is 1 Corinthians 7. That's fine. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians 7, 7 came in my mind. Corinthians didn't. Verse 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be ye the servant of men. See that in verse 23? I mean, that is so clear. You're bought with a price. You're not supposed to be going, hey, I'm just going to do whatever I think is right. You're bought with a purchase of blood. Go to Romans, 1 Corinthians 6, I believe it is. Verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Boy, that puts a whole new perspective on life, doesn't it? I mean, if you start to think, okay, I'm gonna, God is in me, and I'm gonna make decisions, then the best place to find those decisions would be in the what? The Word of God. And you underline them and say, hey, that's how you make them. And we were talking about that earlier. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. And so when people start to go back to Romans 14, sorry about sending you to Romans 7, but go back to Romans 14, you've got to be cautious on how you live your life. Not that you're under the law, not that you're under some regimen, because all things are lawful unto us. Amen? I mean, that's a fact. And in Romans chapter 14, I want to start with verse 8 again. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For, now watch, for to this end Christ both died, rose, revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now that's the pinnacle or the nuclei that makes everything in your world twirl. It's not your feelings, it's not your emotions, it's what? It's you're going to give an account. Now, you can do anything you want. Go back to Romans chapter 6. Hold on to Romans 14. Go back to Romans chapter 6. There's a lot of legalists that don't like this verse, but let me tell you, it means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it to. Amen? Can't help it. First Corinthians 6, verse 12. It says, all things are lawful unto me. Everybody say that.
All things are lawful unto me.
Is adultery lawful?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 6, 23. No. No.
Too much Diet Coke.
No.
Not enough water.
You guys just don't have your ESP turned on. You got to have your... Just did this all day yesterday. First Corinthians 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me. Everybody say that.
All things are lawful unto me.
That sounds awfully wild, doesn't it? Huh?
Yes.
But all things are not what?
Expedient.
What does that mean, expedient? What? It probably isn't bringing about the results that you might not think. He says it, though, clearly, doesn't he? All things are what? There isn't hardly a Baptist church that could preach that. They would think, man, if you did some of those things, you'd just go to hell. But that's not what the Bible says, is it? All things are lawful. Not all things are expedient. They're not going to bring about the results you want. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Look in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. 1 Corinthians, Hannah, you're old enough to open your Bible. You're not opening your Bible, sweetie? How do you know where the verses are? Seth, are you old enough to read yet? All right, let's try reading. Josh, we're in 1 Corinthians. Can you find that? 1 Corinthians 10. Everybody there? He says it again. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but all things edify not. Some of them are going to destroy. But that's a hard thing to take, isn't it? You know how many churches you couldn't preach those verses in? Majority. Why? Because, you know, listen, it's grace. You can do whatever you want. But not everything you do is going to be right or effect. And remember that you've been bought with a price. So you've got to consider all this. Say, what would the Lord have me to do? Ask me that. Well, it depends. If you're a child, He'd have you to obey your parents. Amen?
Amen.
If you're a wife, it's to reverence your husband. Amen? If you're a husband, it's to what? Love your wife.
Amen.
Now, listen, I know a little bit of what?
We left Larry out.
What did Larry do this time?
He don't have a wife to love.
He's to love William. We're a very progressive church. Larry is to love his cat.
Love his neighbor and give him one of those fancy cars.
Yeah, that's right. You guys, listen to me. You say, what is the mission? It's ultimately to what? What is the mission of your life? And the mission should be ultimately to glorify God, the creator of heaven and earth, in everything I do. Is it all going to be easy?
No.
No, most of it stinks. That's what most people don't get. They're going through life and saying, man, I want to be a Joe Christian and have life rosy. Well, you know what? Look in 2 Corinthians. Well, hang on. Don't turn there yet, you guys. Well, hammer me. Where is... that's not... 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, I drove for 15 hours yesterday. I'm just a little bit delirious. Sorry about that. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it is. Yes, hallelujah! 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now here's the deal. Is your life going to be easy and smooth? No. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what?
That is a fact. People are going to turn off to you because of the truth that's in you. The idea of Christianity is to lose the I in you. I want this. I want that. I feel this. I feel I have this. I want this. I. Got it? Go, yes, amen.
Amen.
The I, you want to what? Fade. And so that you can say, he says, I need to do this. The Creator. Go to Mark 14. Mark 14. That's Matthew. That's why it's not. I'm in Matthew. Give me just a second. I want to start in verse 34. Well, 33. Mark 14, 33. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John. And he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forth a little and he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Now, you know, listen, if he avoids this hour, you will never be saved. It stinks. It's so to the point that he sweats great drops of blood. He is sick to the end. He is wretched inside of his guts. His innards are turned to thing, and he's out praying, Lord, if there's any way that this can possibly pass, if there's any way that you can release me from this, please let it come. Now, you know what? He went to that cross willingly, but it wasn't because he didn't see the incredible pain that he was going to bear on that cross. He saw that incredible. He sat there and looked, and he realized that if he did the will of God, it was going to be painful, so that he was distraught, sore, afraid. Boy, I wish I could get that across to you. If it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, this is when you start to be a mature Christian. People say, what do you want to do in life? Not what I will, not what I desire, not what I want, not what I think, not what I desire. On and on. Not I, but thou will be done. Boy, that's tough. Easy to do whatever you want to do. That's easy. That's easy. Yeah, it's just easy. So how easy is it? It's easy. You can just say, well, I'm going to do this. Amen? Dale, you ever done that? Just say, I'm going to go do this. And you know, when you ain't got a wife, it's even easier. I mean, it always tickles me, Larry, like, hey, you going to the Bible conference? Well, I don't know. Well, you don't have anyone to make a decision, so if you don't know, who knows? You know, talk to the cat, you know? I mean, you know, when you're alone, everything gets a little bit easier, doesn't it? You don't have to ask this person or that person what to do. You don't have to take in someone else's feelings, right? You just go do your dealy-wheelie. I mean, when Deborah's out of town, you should have seen how Tony was fancy foot.
I said, Tony, you want to go? Yeah, man, let's go. I know, he's fast. The doing the I stuff isn't the tough stuff, guys. Listen. Well, that's right. Listen, let me tell you, and people are tuned into that station all the time. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to put on the new man. And that new man should have the attitude of exactly what Jesus Christ did, not my will, but thou will be done. Why? Because, listen guys, it isn't about you. And about your happiness. Here's some news you better wake up to. God doesn't care whether you're happy or not. Did you hear me? God doesn't care. Ha! 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 Oh! Ha! 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 Oh, life is oh! Baloney. And fascinating to me. I've been running around this planet about 50 years now, and I'm learning a few things, and I wish you could learn them sooner. You can't learn them when you're Josh's age. Can't learn them when you're Hannah's age. You learn them at 50 and 60 and 70. And you look back, and you start to realize, wow. Do what? Yeah, I wish I'd have done this. You know, I've watched people in business. And I'm involved with some network marketing companies, you know. And I built a residual income. And I live a very unique lifestyle. I mean, Carlton has no clue what I even do. He keeps going, what do you do? Tony tried to figure it out for me. He just finally gave up. You know, there are some people that go to work for a paycheck. And they need a boss, and they need structure, and they need to be told what to do. I never needed that. In fact, I hated bosses. In fact, I hate a boss so bad that it's unbelievable. I don't want to go to work for somebody. That's me. Now, some people are very content working for a boss. They like to be told what to do. They like to be told what time. I like to get up when I'm done sleeping.
Amen. Okay?
Whenever I'm done, I wake up. I haven't set an alarm in so long, I don't even know what one looks like. Say, well, can you get there at 7 o'clock? I don't know. Let's see. I don't know. I just do that. And I watch people need structure in their lives. They couldn't do it on their own if they wanted to. Y'all understand? Wouldn't it matter? And I've wondered why that was. And it's like some people need the law. You know, they feel that they couldn't confine themselves. When you tell them it's all grace, it's like, and all things are lawful, they're going, whoa, that makes me want to go out and sin. Really? It did? You mean the fact that God sent His Son to die for you because you're a filthy, rotten, low-down, no-good sinner and you want to go out and sin more? That's weird to me. You understand? Well, I know that what we should be seeking is not our will. So where do you find the will of God? Huh? In the Word of God. Rightly divided. Because you can't just take all the Word of God written for you. Why? John 14 is a good example. Amen.
Whatever you ask in my name, he says, that will I do. Paul says, I don't know what to pray for as I ought. I think that's more like me. Amen. It is about, go back to Romans 14. See, I believe your life is a reflection of the decisions you make for Christ's sake. People are looking at you. What are you deciding? Are you deciding to go with the flesh? You got to be careful with the arm of the flesh. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. You can't allow the flesh to dominate you. Why? Well, look what it says. 1, verse 12, I want to, Romans 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Are you going to give an account? Wouldn't you like to be said, Father, I know that you wanted me to do this and I did it. And I did it because you asked me to. I didn't want to. It was uncomfortable to me. It was uncomfortable to me. It didn't make me feel good. But I did it. You know, Paul says, go to Acts 20, 24. I love this Bible. You don't even have to say anything. Just read the verses. Amen? You don't have to say anything. Just read the verses. I love this. Acts 20, 24. Watch this. But none of these things move me. See, he was on a course. Well, I want to come up to verse 23. Is that okay? Save the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. Verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's the getting rid of the I. You see that? That I might finish my course. What is the course? Whatever you set out to do. It's your ministry. Whether it's the ministry of preaching or singing. Or it could be a ministry of a child, Hannah, your age. It could be a ministry of a husband to a wife or a wife to a husband. It could be a ministry of one of the men to the others. Amen? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Look what he says. That I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Then everything you do affects the gospel of the grace of God. Someone said, well, I don't know if I can do that. Pray about it. The Lord will give you the strength. Can you love your enemies? That's an interesting thing. If love is a feeling, how would you feel toward your enemies? You ever think about that? The Bible said in Romans to do what? In Romans 13, he said to do what? Love your enemies. How do you do that? Matt, can you tell me that? I can tell you how it's done. What? You just do it. It has nothing to do with feelings. Love your enemies. But I thought love was a feeling. That's because your mom and daddy told you that in the marketing department at... What's that? That it's a noun. It's what you do. It's a single direction. Yeah, it's a verb. But I mean, you know, it's a self-action. It's a choice. It has not to do with feelings. How many here have had feelings for someone before in their lives and they've come and gone? How many here has been married at least twice? How many three times? No, I'm just kidding. You know, all of us have felt feelings. I remember falling in love with a girl named Linda Jessen back when I was 15. I was head over heels with her.
She was the admiral's daughter. I was bad to the bone. I figured if you're going to get in, you might as well get in with the admiral. And I, after I broke up with her for 2 years, I didn't date anybody. I was brokenhearted. Then another one came along. Then another one came along. And before you know it, there was a whole slew of them. Said, are you a... I remember dating Brendan. She asked, was I a Christian? I said, baby, I'm a Christian tonight. But after I got saved and I understood the love of Christ and the choice, how do you love your enemies? Everybody say it. You just choose it. You just do it. Say, I do it. Say, well, won't that be weird? How about somebody who would literally like to blow you up, you go and hug and say, I love you. And knowing that if you go and love that person, he's going to pull the trigger. Would you do it? You know what? I can tell you the human ego would say, no, don't do it. You know why? You know what starts talking? Instead of what he wants, it goes back to, I got to protect myself. I got to develop, and that is just the opposite of love. When you start to defend yourself and protect yourself, it is all about the I and not him. Does that make sense? And so, the realization in the passage, he's telling you some things. Why? Well, come on down. Verse 14. Well, I'm going to read 13 too. Romans 14, 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is what? So treat it like you're not going to put a stumbling block. Why? Because you love them. You want them to get the truth. So you restrain from everything that is in you so that you can preach the gospel. Say, will it affect your gospel? Yes, it will. All right, we got two preachers. They're both pretty good preachers. You got this preacher over here. Preacher A. Let's just test this. Preacher B. They both preach the gospel. Preacher B here. It's like Terry, got a perfect wife, 2.5 perfect kids. That's because grandma's there. You got it? Over here, this preacher, been divorced 5 times. You're going to pick a preacher. What do you think you're going to pick? Huh? You see, I mean, everything is judged by what you do. You all understand what I'm saying? Every action. All right, let's try it again. We got A over here and B over here. This guy drinks. This guy, he's so sober, he makes AA meetings look like they're drunks. Okay? Over here, this guy, both preach the gospel. Which one are you going to listen to? You're going to start making decisions based upon the flesh. Y'all understand? Yet the gospel could be identical coming out of their mouths. Every action you take affects your testimony. Every action. You understand? Every choice. Every decision. Every thought. That's why he said bring every thought into captivity. Bring every thought, every imagination of your own, bring it in and captivate it and do the will of God. Is it easy? No. That's why Paul is such a great example. He goes in city after city, gets beat, stoned, whipped, starved, thrown in the deep. You name it. Shipwreck. I mean, Paul had it. I bet Paul was going through the day like this.
No, but he finished his ministry with joy. So joy isn't being happy. Joy is knowing you accomplished the task in which was set before you. Does that make sense? We're accomplishing the task. Is it easy? No. Wouldn't you wish the air conditioning worked? Not easy. Constant things just beating up on you, hammering you. And you know what you got to do? Is say, not what my will is, but what is the Lord's will. Say, I don't like that. I've had a couple of people tell me that three times this week, three different people. I know, I think it stinks too. One of them, I was telling people that they ought to get themselves out of a church that's teaching them wrong. Well, where would I go? Well, you could tune in on the internet, amen? Amen. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. How could you walk together with someone that didn't agree with the truth? I mean, what's up with that? Really, guys, I mean, you know, when you're talking about maturity and growing up, not to put a stumbling block in your brother's faith, you know, a way that he might trip up. Are you the example of the believer? I love, there's this guy named, he's a Christian artist. I can't think of his name right now. But he wrote a song. He says, am I too dirty for his light to get through? That's a good verse, a good line in the song, amen? And you know what? You got to work on your words. And I know you're going to fail. You know how I know you're going to fail? Because I've failed. And I've tried. But you know what? That doesn't mean you don't keep pressing toward the mark. That's what you press toward. Say, is it going to be easy? Nope, not going to be easy. Are you going to get discouraged? Yep, going to get discouraged. What are you going to do when he tells you, okay, there's people that just stoned you, that took you out of the city and stoned you, you're going to go right back. I could see Paul coming back out of that stumper or whatever he was and goes, I'm going where? Ah! I don't want to go back in there. Reminds me of Ace Ventura. Do not go in there. You know? That's how he should have felt. But you know what? He didn't just keep his own deal. You know what he did? He went back. He was obedient. He finished the course. And it doesn't matter what course you're on. We're all on different courses. You know that, don't you? Bronx on a course of being a mom, a wife, a sister in the Lord. She's got a lot of ministries going. You know what I don't have? I will never be anybody's wife that I know of. Ever. You understand? There's just a few things I know in life. Okay? So I don't know what a ministry of a wife is. Y'all understand? I don't understand a kid. I'm not a kid anymore. Sometimes my dad wants to give me instruction like I'm a kid, and I understand I need instruction because I'm pretty bad. But you know, I'm not a kid anymore. Once a kid gets grown, you got to let them go. Hope all those decisions you gave them, you had 18 years to get it right. If you're taking 35 and 40 years, you're probably a little slow at getting it right. Amen? But I don't have that ministry of being a kid anymore. But I do have the ministry of preaching the Word. And you know what? There are many churches filled today. They're hearing one little verse and they're trying to make a decision in their lives. Folks, listen, let me tell you what. There isn't one little verse here. There's lots of little verses. Amen? And here's the deal. You know, my job isn't to tell you how great you are. My job is to make sure you understand that there is a need for you to have and that you need a Savior. And no matter what I do and what I've done over the last hour or couple hours, and whether you completely understand it, this is what you got to get. The Bible said there is none good, no, not one. Say, that's me.
I'm not any good. Say that. The Bible says there's not a just person that doeth good and sinneth not. Say, that's me, I sinneth. You know, Bible says all have sinned. That includes me. Say, that includes me. And sinners only have one choice, and that is they've got to go to hell. They've got to pay the payment. The wages of sin is death. They got to die, the death. But the good news is God sent His Son to die for you in your stead. He died for all of your sins. And there isn't a single sin that He missed. There isn't a single sin that He has allowed to escape His payment. And He paid on that. And He, as it were, just stepped right off that cross and went down to hell to pay for your sins. But you know what? God didn't leave them in the grave. He rose up the third day, showing, according to Romans chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, that He has justified you from all of your sins. You know what? You've got to believe that in order to have eternal life. You know what? Nothing else is going to do. It doesn't matter how much do you do. You're never going to get it done. And you know what? I know for a fact that you'll never be able to accomplish this practice either by erasing the I and putting Him there if you're not saved. You can't do that. I don't care how hard you try. You're never going to be able to put Him in. You're never going to be able to put your little boy down. You know what? I'm amazed. I teach some financial courses. I got to tell you, I'm a little bit amazed at people. How many here, don't raise your hands, in your mind and on the internet, right now have credit card debt? Now, how many here think that's the will of God? You know, I'll give you a verse. And I bet you 99.9% of the Christians in churches today are loaded with debt. They're drowning in it. This is what the Bible says. You know, a borrower is servant to the lender. You know what you have just chosen to be when you get in debt? A bona fide slave. Now, God wanted you to be a free man. God's desire, God's will is for you to be a free man. People try to live above their means. I watch people that are poor live above their means. We know a few, right? It doesn't matter if you're making 400 or making 2,000 or 5,000. It doesn't matter. Drowning in debt. And I know the will of God is for you not to be a borrower, a servant to the lender. And I've tried to teach that. How many times have I tried to teach that at this? How many here is totally debt-free? Car, house, everything. Four or five. Everybody in here ought to be debt-free. 100%. I don't understand that. I know what the will of God is. But see, we can't say no to that little screaming child that we are. I want it. I want it now. I want it. I got to have this. I got to have it right now. And you know what? You're letting Mr. I come up. Amen. And take over your life. When what would the Lord have you to do? Y'all understand? Save for it. I want a brand new car. Well, go get in debt for it. How many here have a debt on a car? No, don't raise your hand. But if you do, why can't you say no to yourself for about 3 years and buy the car out fresh? Couldn't you do that if you really, really wanted to? And you know, if you didn't have that monthly payment every month, you know what pressure would not be on you? So following the will of God, in most cases, would allow us some of the stress of our lives to come off. You know, we just decided to love our wives or reverence our husband if we're a wife. Or if we're children, just decide to be obedient. That's the will of God, right? Wouldn't it be great if your child, every time you ask him to do something, Hannah, would you go get me a Diet Coke, please? That they would do exactly what you ask him to do. And by the way, would you get back there? Would you kick the trash can loud enough so I can hear it? Okay. And every time you asked them to do something, they would do it. How much pleasure would that be to actually go to the Walmart? Anybody been to Walmart lately? And they go to Walmart and they're pushing and their kids are hanging on and they're like grabbing things off the shelf, screaming up to, and you're going, my gosh, get those kids under control. How much greater would it be if they were just obedient? Well, let's take that into following the Lord. How much better would your life be? 100%. Say, but I want this. Well, you can have it. You can choose. Amen? All right, I've lost you. You guys are mad at me now. See, I stepped on some of your toes and now you're mad at me. Right? I mean, come on, guys. Listen to me. If you choose the will of the Lord, it may be still painful, but for all eternity, it will be given to your recognition that you did what was right before the Lord. That's a biggie. That's a biggie. Say, but I want this. Yeah, I understand. I want a lot of things. I'd like children that love me. That'd be great. You love me, don't you, Charlie Bug? I love you too. Everybody loves me up until about 18. Guys, I'm done. But what I want you to think about, yes.
One quick question. You've said you do the seminars. How many people have not heard it, and how many people would like to come maybe on a Monday night and spend about 2 hours and let Barry
do it? Well, it's two nights. It'll take two nights,
but you know.
It's always interesting. I didn't hear you kick that thing. Did you kick it? All right, good. Nothing like obedient children. Would you go get some wood and let's go up to the mountain? No. Only a few of you got that. The rest of you are like, what is he talking about? All right, I'm done.